Good evening, everyone. Well,
Radio.
Talking about the celebration and the acknowledgement of New York City's first patrolman, Moses P. Cobb. Please feel free to call in. Please feel free to call in at this number. You can reach us at area code 347-324-5552. Again, that number is area code 347-324-5552. At this time, I just want to take a moment to introduce our guest for this evening. Our guest is the director of the Harlem Historical Society, Brother Jacob Morris. If you're on the line, Brother Jacob Morris, say hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, beautiful. It's great to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, and we thank you for joining us here this evening on the Gist of Freedom. Today, I just wanted to talk to you about a little bit about the recent celebration that took place October 29th. I believe there was a tribute and a street sign ceremony to acknowledge New York City's first patrolman, Moses P. Cobb. And if you could just tell us a little bit about Patrolman Cobb and the event itself, I'm sure the audience would appreciate it.
It was a beautiful thing, you know. I particularly got a kick out of the way it brought out, you know, certain things about the way New York City got formed, actually. You know, that at one time, New York City was not New York City. You know, that Brooklyn and Manhattan were separate cities. And, you know, what happened was Moses was hired. He was actually the second African-American hired by the Brooklyn Police Department.
Okay.
Which was different than the NYPD, or, you know, the Manhattan Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
1892. But the first black to get hired by the Brooklyn PD, he left after 30 days because of you know, I guess the incredibly negative racist treatment he subjected to. But Moses, he had fortitude.
I can imagine. I bet he did.
Man, let me tell you. This guy, I mean, if you wanted to define fortitude, you could say, Moses, be calm.
Right, okay.
I tell people that the P in his name, you know, Moses P. Cobb, that P that stood for perseverance.
Oh, right. I bet. Yes, sir.
And that was no joke. I mean, because that's what it took. That's really what it took. So to Moses, finding out about Moses and his role in history and his historical significance, because I wanted to get this other gentleman honored, Sam Battle. And you see, Sam was hired by the NYPD directly in 1911. So 19 years after Moses, Sam was hired by the NYPD, which was at that point a unified police force because New York City was unified in 1896.
Okay.
And the police forces were actually unified in 1898. So Moses was grandfathered into the NYPD. So the actual description of Moses's place in history as a black man within the, let's say, the forces that keep order in our society would be the first black to make a career of the police department or policing in New York City.
Okay.
To make a career.
Right.
That's how I would describe him accurately.
Okay. And Mr. Morris, just wanted to let our listeners know that we also have a descendant of Moses P. Cobb on the line with us. We have Miss Emma Sproul. Are you on the line? I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. Did I pronounce that right? All right.
Yes.
Thank you for calling in. And if you could just share with the listeners just share the story and tell us the story about your ancestor, Moses P. Cobb, and actually the process that I'm sure the family partook in making sure that he was honored.
Well, it was thanks to Mr. Jacob Morris, who helped me and my family be able to carry out his legacy to let everyone know how he walked all the way from Kinston, North Carolina, to New York to make a life for his family.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a privilege and an honor for me as his great-granddaughter to be able to go out and do this in his honor to acknowledge the type of person that he was and how he stood strong no matter what he faced, far as racial things that was going on in the department. So it's such a blessing, to know that I had someone in my life, or I should say that was I'm his descendant. Because I actually didn't never get to meet my great-grandfather. I always heard stories about him. I met my great-grandmother, Sophia Cobb, who was the one that always wanted this day to take place. And I found that out through a cousin of mine's. His name is Charles. And he was the one that said, my grandmother really wanted this to take place. And I didn't know that until later on after I finished doing what I needed to do to make sure that that day happened. So, again, you know, it was really a blessing to be able to stand before the commissioner and my family and everyone to honor someone that was so great.
Right, right. And then we definitely thankful for the contributions of Patrolman Cobb, and he left a legacy. And I kind of wanted to come back to Mr. Morris, ask a quick question. Mr. Morris, they had a tribute ceremony, I believe, October 29th, and that was interesting because I believe that was the date. Was that the date of the storm?
Wow.
It was the storm, but I wanted you to elaborate, if you could elaborate on the actual tribute and who came out, who spoke, and as what I understand, the storm didn't really tamper the spirit of the tribute that day.
And the turnout was amazing, especially considering the weather. They put aside this very, very large room inside the precinct, given how severe the weather was outside, and that room was packed. It was standing room only. It was people standing all around the edges. All the seats. Every seat was filled, and room was jammed, and it was a big room. And it was a beautiful ceremony. The way it got laid out, it was really, really nice. And what we wound up doing was we wound up combining the plaque ceremony, the presentation of the bronze plaque, that commemorated Moses, with a description of, his life and his contributions, with the street sign ceremony. But you have to, understand that the street sign ceremony led to the plaque ceremony, and then, of course, I held out, and Emma was a little nervous about it, but I have experience with these street naming ceremonies, and we had a precedent with the Sam Battle ceremony, which just worked out so, so beautifully well, and the community got a chance to express its appreciation for Moses and his role in Brooklyn, in the community, and in the NYPD. And I tell you, one of the coolest moments was, when they asked the descendants of Moses P. Cobb to stand up. I swear, stood up.
Well, my question is for Ms. Spruill. How did you meet? How did you and Mr. Morris? How did you meet? How did you guys initially come in contact?
I deal with the Explorers. So we had a function in 2009. We had a brunch, and it was Gregory Floyd, who's the president of Local 237. Mm-hmm. He was the one that introduced us. And at that time, he explained to me what he was doing for our Samuel Battles. And he said, it's such a pleasure to meet you, the great-granddaughter of Moses P. Cobb. And I said, yes. And so he said to me, we have to do this. We have to do this. We have to get this street stuck. We have to get it done. So I said, okay. It was not, I said, I've never done anything like this before. He said, that's okay. I'm going to help you, but we have to get this done. We have to let it be known you know, what type of person he was, who he was, and what he stand for. I said, no problem. Okay, and he explained to me that it would be an uphill, downhill, but we're going to get it done. So I started it since 2009. I went over to the precinct and introduced myself to the commander. Mm-hmm. And then I spoke to the community affairs officers that was in there, and then they introduced me to the precinct president councilman, which is and he was the one that, you know, also helped as well. So, you know, it was such a blessing to meet Mr. Morris, because, like I told him, I never done anything like this before, and I'm really going to need help. So I, you know, took it step by step, and it was an uphill, and it definitely was a downhill at some time. But, you know, I'm grateful that I stuck it out. And
took a little while, right?
It helped me, yes. It helped me as well, you know. I had Mr. Caldwell, who was the precinct counsel. He wasn't giving up on it. He was so excited about the fact. He said, your grandfather walked all the way from Kinston, North Carolina. I said, yes. I mean, you know, these are the stories that I was told. As a matter of fact, I have a cousin on the line as well. Her name is Gladys Marshall. And we met in 03 at a Black History. She's one of the granddaughters of Moses P. Cobb. And we met at a Black History function at One Police Plaza. And, you know, we stayed in contact, and the family got in contact, and we started, you know, doing different things together as a family reunion, getting to know, you know, a lot of information. And a lot of my information I got from the older descendants, which is the grandchildren. And she was one of the ones that was very formative as well to help me, you know, continue this and, you know, go forward with it.
And Mr. Morris, about how long did this process take from the initial meeting with Sister Sproul until the final ceremony on October 29th? About how long did this whole process take?
Hey, it was quite a journey. It really was. It was quite a journey. You know, one of the things, you know, that I've that I have a visceral appreciation of is Murphy's Law. I mean, for real, you know, like, so it took a while. Let's see, there was some different chunks in the process, you know. So the first chunk was that we had to get signatures on petitions. You see, mm-hmm. because I know what the community board criteria for naming is, you know, like they have certain hurdles you got to jump over. So even if you have an exceptionally worthy name, you know, a person that you want to honor, you still mm-hmm. got to meet their criteria. And one of the criteria is local support within the community for the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, so I have my petition format, you know, which is accepted around the city by different community boards. And so I gave that to Emma. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, now you got to get the signatures. And, you know, the precinct council is a good place to start. Well, actually, she started with this other friend of mine, Richard Green, who's a community activist in Crown Heights. So he helped her a little bit and did a little preliminary introduction. And then she, you know, and of course, I mean, Emma is a longtime a member of the school safety division of the NYPD. So she kind of knows her way around the hierarchy. And then she wound up at the precinct, and then fortunately, you know, she met Mr. Caldwell, and he really appreciated her. So then finally she got traction with the petitions. This did not take a week. This must have taken what, like 8-9 months by before you find.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that was not as easy as some people might think.
And can either of you describe the community reaction to the project, or the, you know, was there anyone in particular that gave
was,
a, you know, distinctive support
was,
or someone you might want to thank?
Beautiful. The committee that had jurisdiction in the community board, that's the transportation committee,
mm-hmm.
they loved it. I mean, it passed unanimously. That was really, that part was smooth. Once
mm-hmm.
we had our ingredients together, and I got to say that they loved Emma.
mm.
they loved
Mr.
Emma.
Mondeson.
Mm-hmm.
Mr.
May
Mark?
I see?
Sure.
And they loved her. I mean,
this is that's my cousin Gladys.
Yes.
How you doing, granddaughter.
Gladys?
Yes, Gladys.
How you doing, Gladys?
Yes. Hi. Pleased to meet you. Okay.
Nice to
my name is
you.
Gladys Marshall, and I'm the granddaughter of Moses P. Cobb. And
all right.
Very, very pleased and excited with all of the efforts that Emma and everyone involved that came to the conclusion for Saturday, October 29th, the street name change and the plaque. Any questions you'd like to ask?
Well, first I just want to thank you for calling in. I also wanted to just know from you and the family, you know, is there a particular legacy that you would, you know, anything you want to share about Patrolman Moses Cobb? Is it what legacy would you like him to leave, or what would you like his legacy to be?
Okay, I believe patience. Patience was his format. When I heard my mother, Mattie Rose Cobb Cotman, tell us different stories, my grandfather, Moses P. Cobb, was very, very patient. And when he arrested prisoners, he never used handcuffs. He simply talked to them. And, of course, they got arrested for crap games. But he talked to them and brought them into the precinct and had them sit down while he arrested them formally on paper. And I feel that I exemplify some of his patients. I don't know where I got it from, but I'll attribute that to him because I can tolerate a lot. But I look at the person, I see what they're doing, and if either one of us is in harm's way, then I can walk away. But if not, then I pay attention to the person, and they give me their attention also.
And if I understand correctly, I know there was pictures in the newspaper article, and I before we talk about the article, I think that it was what I took from that story, it was very significant that he showed the prisoners dignity. He even gave those he arrested or those who were in trouble with the law, he still gave them and displayed amongst them a type of dignity. And
yes.
I think that speaks highly of him.
I feel, and you've seen this, it exemplifies in myself and Emma and many, many of our young descendants of Moses P. Cobb. We all show a great dignity. We didn't know where it came from, but getting together over the years, having several family reunions, and just family get-togethers, you can tell by Emma the patience, and it's passing on down the generations, and the dignity, and the dignity.
Right, right. Now, as I understand, there was a newspaper article about the event. If you could just share, you know, things about the article. I think there was a story about his wife in the article, correct?
You know, I didn't get that article, I'm sad to say. I got the article from the Sunday Daily News, the October 30th edition on page 16. And so I'm not aware of that article. Emma, are you?
No, I don't know if they're talking about Grandma Sophie.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I didn't get that one. We got the one from, you know, the Sunday News.
Right. Now, I can tell you what my mother, Mattie Rose Cobb Cotman, said about her father, about, I'm sorry, Grandma Sophia Battle Cobb. that Grandma Sophia accepted every child that Moses P. Cobb had, that his children are her children. I don't know if that appeared in the article, but I got this from my mom. And she was very gracious and called the children to her home many times just to talk.
Well, do you have any personal stories about your experience with Patrolman Cobb? Any personal one-on-one experiences or stories that you would like to share?
I wish I could. However, he passed away in 1927, and I was born in 1930. So my first story, yeah. But as a child, I always wanted someone to hold me, who my grandfather, Moses P. Cobb, held me. And the person that I didn't realize that was the person who held me was my grandmother, Lucy Ella Gaines Riddick, who, with Moses P. Cobb, you know, had my mother, Mattie Rose Cobb Cotman. So I was held until about 1937, I was 7 years old, by her. And she lovingly talked about Grandpa being kind and understanding and, again, showing patience.
Right.
And, of course, with that dignity.
Right, right. Now, are there any pictures or uniforms, artifacts, memorabilia that the family still contains?
Well, I know
the
speaking to my cousin Charles, he said that they had the uniform and stuff like that, but now they no longer have it. But they had those things. According to what he was saying, it used to be down in his mother-in-law's basement, but a lot of those things got lost. So the only thing that we have is what we received, and my cousin Gladys knows about a whistle. Am I right, cousin Gladys?
Yes, yes. We no longer have the whistle, sadly enough. I found that out about 5 years ago. But as a child, my brother, Irving Cotman, and myself, I had the pleasure of blowing Grandpa's whistle. It was in our china closet in our apartment in Brooklyn. And then the police museum had an exhibit of Moses P. Cobb at the same time in the same room with Lieutenant Samuel Jesse Battle. And they did have some artifacts. I knew they had a nightstick, a whistle, but I don't know who's in charge of that property.
Okay.
Well, the museum. I know the museum has just a little of it because they was asking me, was it any way that we could, any of the belongings that he had, and I said to him, no, it was told to me that a lot of his stuff was lost.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we thank you. We thank both of you for sharing your stories with your relative Patrolman Cobb. I just wanted to ask Mr. Morris a quick question about the event itself. I understood that it had some high-ranked officials that spoke at the event, such as the Commissioner Ray Kelly was there, and Senator Eric Adams, I believe, was there as well. Can you just describe perhaps what they brought to the ceremony, Mr. Morris?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I got to tell you, the Commissioner Kelly, he did a great job. I mean, his speech, real flavor. he really brought it. He has gotten the feeling. He has really gotten the feeling. He really communicated superbly. I got to give it to him. He did a superb job communicating many details about Moses's career, Moses as a gentleman, but Moses's career, his early, you know, great. I tell you, the commissioner did a great job. That was an excellent speech.
And how about, I believe Senator Adams was there as well?
Yes, and Senator Adams brought a proclamation from the state legislature in Albany.
If you could just tell the listeners who Senator Eric Adams is, yes.
Well, Senator Eric Adams is, first, he's a friend of mine.
Okay.
And he's a great guy. He's a real stand-up guy. I met Eric when he was a co-founder, actually, of 100 Black Men in Law Enforcement. And he made captain, so he's an NYPD captain, retired. And then he ran for the state senate, and he won with about like 98% of the vote in that district in central Brooklyn. And I called him and I said, "Hey, man, this is your kind of thing. You know, this is the first." First black to make a career out of the police department, and it's in Brooklyn, and it's your district. Well, he was there with bells on, and he was proud to be there. I mean, he really personally felt the significance, and stuff like this transcends, like policy disagreements about. What kind of policing there is or stop and frisk policies. This was about honoring Moses P. Cobb and his historical significance. I mean that and Moses was a role model. Moses was a role model. Moses wasn't just that he was, the first or the second or the first to make a career. Moses was a role model. Personally, besides being a role model, and by the way, Sam Battle, and this really tickled me about the whole, the interconnections of history. Sam, who had very good taste in himself, married Moses' youngest sister.
Okay.
So Moses was Sam Battle's elder brother-in-law. And I feel, and I actually have a copy of Sam Battle's unpublished autobiography.
And can you explain who Sam Battle is as well?
Sam Battle was the first black hired directly by the NYPD in 1911.
Right, okay.
He was also the first black to make sergeant, and he was the first black to make lieutenant.
Mm.
And then when he retired, he was appointed by Mayor LaGuardia as the first black parole commissioner. He was Lou Gehrig died. You remember, the football player was on parole commission after he retired from baseball. And then he died. It was 1941, and Mayor LaGuardia took a lot of heat for appointing Sam Battle to his seat on the parole commission, and he was the first black parole commissioner. And then Sam instituted many innovative youth programs in Harlem. Mm-hmm. This thing about, that Moses treated the people that he arrested with respect.
Mm-hmm.
There was the riots of 1935 in Harlem, which I'm sure you heard about. That was 3 days, very intense rioting. That was spurred by rumors that a young man had been murdered in the basement of the Crest apartment stores. On 125th Street, and Sam happened to know that the young boy was still alive. He hadn't been murdered, and he found the kid, and they took a picture of him with the kid, And you see a big part of this is credibility in the community, and Moses had that credibility, and Sam had
right.
that credibility. And so the picture got distributed, and, you know, the Harlem riots of 1935 stopped.
Mm.
Stopped because of the distribution of the picture. And in spite of some negative anti or negative sentiments towards the NYPD on the Harlem Community Board, I made the point that these gentlemen exemplified what I called brains over brutality.
Mm. Good point.
And both Moses and Sam Battle.
Mm-hmm.
They exemplified this as a, I guess you could call it, you know, the foundation of real community policing.
Mm. That's an excellent point, Mr. Morris. At this, you know, I just want to thank everyone for taking part. We're coming to a close of our program this evening. Again, I would like to thank all of you for participating in this very important discussion of this hero, Patrolman Moses Cobb. And before we close, I just wanted to know if anyone had any parting words, last-minute words that they wanted to share with our listeners tonight.
Okay. I would. I'm Gladys Marshall. My grandfather was the first colored policeman in the city of Brooklyn Police Department. When it merged in 1892, he was the first to wear the NYPD blue. And proudly again, Uncle Samuel Jesse Battle was the first officer, the first colored officer in the NYPD. So we're proud of both, and I thank you so much for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Emma, do you have any last words?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I'm grateful and I'm thankful for even being, you know, a great-granddaughter of Moses P. Cobb. I mean, it speaks for itself. You never really pay attention to the fact of your life history until you fall into the same footsteps and you wonder, wow, how did you get here? And then when you look back over your history and, you know, from my great-grandfather being a police officer, and that's why me and myself and my sister Marvina Lawrence, who is a police officer, in the police department, realize that that's where we got what we're doing today because of my grandfather. So I'm grateful, you know, to be able, and I'm honored to be able to stand before many, my family, the police commissioner, and everyone else, and Jacob Morris and all, to be able to make this day happen. So I thank God for that.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank
you for calling. Mr. Morris, you have any last words?
Well, this gives what I do meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what, and you know, Em and I are already talking about, you know, during Black History Month that we would do something with the youth, with the precinct council. Because at the Sam Battle ceremony, there was a section on the program where the youth actually did a little program called I Am Sam Battle. And so we're planning during Black History Month coming up in the community to do a little program, I Am Moses P. Cobb, with young people. And the legacy, in honoring these great people with their underappreciated roles in history, that's like, it's just a really cool thing, because it's not taught in the history books.
No, not at all.
You know, so but we bring this out and everybody's lives are enriched. And what a great family. For me, that's also one of the most special things about all of this is the great, all these wonderful, wonderful descendants of these great people, and to meet them and to feel their appreciation for their ancestor being honored. That's a wonderful. That's a legacy for you.
And we thank you too, and we appreciate everything you do.
Thank you very much. Again, I'd like to thank all our guests for coming in and speaking about this very important man, Patrolman Moses P. Cobb, first African-American NYPD patrolman. We thank you all for calling in. We thank you, our listeners, for listening to The Gist of Freedom. Please join us next time. Again, I am your host, Weldon McWilliams. This is The Gist of Freedom. And until next time, be good. God bless.
God bless. Okay. Hang on, Gladys. Hold on a minute, okay?